Thank you. Thank you. So glad to be here with you today. God is moving by the power of His Holy Spirit. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You that it's Your desire to give us the spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the knowledge of You so that You can open up our hearts and we can receive Your truth. Lord, the Bible says, if you know the truth can make you free. And Lord, we want to be free today, free to receive Your promises, freely to understand Your word so we can learn how to follow after You. Lord, bless us this night. We thank You for this word in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, what's very interesting about our gospel reading today is that there were people who began to seek after Jesus. When Jesus first started His ministry, He went to John the Baptist at the River Jordan, and He wanted to be baptized in water. All of a sudden, John the Baptist recognized Jesus not as his cousin alone, but he recognized Him as the Messiah. God opened up the eyes of John the Baptist, and he said, "I want to receive your baptism, Jesus." Now, the prophecy for Messiah was that when the Messiah would come, He would baptize in the Holy Spirit and in fire. Already, the Holy Spirit was upon John the Baptist because he was preaching and commanding people to repent. But Jesus said, "John, go ahead and baptize me that all things may be fulfilled." When he went into the waters of baptism, he came up out of the waters of baptism, and two supernatural things took place. Do you know what they were? There was a dove that came upon Jesus, significant to represent the Holy Spirit. So Jesus was baptized in the Holy Spirit. He was endued with power from on high. You see, the Holy Spirit led Him into the wilderness where Jesus fasted and prayed for 40 days. And then He came out of that wilderness experience in the power of the Holy Spirit. First, the Holy Spirit rested upon Him, and then the Holy Spirit was within Him. And Jesus went out and preached everywhere the gospel of the kingdom of God. And when He did, there was something wonderful that took place. After every message, Jesus performed miracles, signs, and wonders. He healed the sick. You couldn't invite Jesus to a funeral because He would raise the dead. then we see that He opened up blind eyes. He opened up deaf ears. And in this case, in Mark chapter 2, the people heard Jesus had come to their village, and the house filled up with people very quickly. Why? Because no one taught the word like Jesus could teach the word. And the revelation that some would get through the teaching of that word. So the house was filled when four men brought a paralyzed man with them. They wanted Jesus to pray for him that he could get healed. And when they could not get into the house, they went on top of the house. And they began to rip apart the roof of the house. Can you imagine the dust that came fluttering down from the ceiling as they were ripping this thing apart? And then the sunlight came through the roof and into the room. And attention was drawn to the ceiling, because from the ceiling came this cot, so to speak, with four ropes. And there was a man on the cot that was lowered right down in front of Jesus. Very interesting what was said in verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, He said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, within that room, He had some of the religious leaders, and they began to debate among themselves and in their mind, why did He say your sins are forgiven? Why didn't He just say, be healed and, you know, take up your bed and walk? And Jesus knew their hearts. He said, which is it easier to do? To say, take up thy bed and walk, or your sins are forgiven. You see, Jesus said that because he wanted to show them that he had the power from God to forgive sins. Jesus was more than a prophet. He was more than just a mighty man of God. He was more than just a preacher, teacher of the word. He was Messiah, Savior of the world, which no one could see at that point. And he said to the, he said, I see their faith. What did he see? What did he see? Come on. He saw them rip the roof apart. He saw the faith of five men. He saw the faith of four men that were lowering down their friend. And the faith of the fifth man was a paralytic on the cot. He had faith those four guys weren't going to drop him, but lower him. When he got in front of Jesus, Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. Receive your healing. Later he said, take up your bed and walk home. And the man got up, completely healed, and took up his bed and went home. Jesus has the power to heal. Well, you say, well, gee whiz, that's great, but he's in heaven now. He's no longer on the earth. But you see, Jesus did some very powerful things. He called men and women to be his disciples. Men and women to be servants of the Most High, like we have servants here to serve us tonight. And so God has empowered us. Mark chapter 16, at the end of Mark, another scripture is found where Jesus was risen from the dead, and he called his men together. And so they were all in one room together. And in Mark chapter 16, verse 17, it says, Jesus spoke to them and said, go out and preach the gospel. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe and is not baptized will be condemned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. My name, they will speak with new tongues. In my name, they'll pick up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt them. And they will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover. Verse 20 says that Jesus, that the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them by confirming the word with signs and wonders and miracles. Malamini kitai perchaya. Mimbot tuhan mujizad. Anybody understand that? How about this one? Savodini nivirum bogu shutobi videt chudisa. Now that's not tongues. It is a tongue. That was Russian. The one before was my stab at Bahasa. And what does it mean? Tonight, we will believe God for miracles. I believe the God of miracles is alive today. I believe the God of miracles has empowered his ministers, not just us here, but believers, that if we can believe, we can pray, and God can do a supernatural work. Years ago, I was invited to go to Russia during Perestroika, when they were beginning to open up their country. And I went in with my brother-in-law, and he had planned a 2,000 a conference for 2,000 university students. When he sent out invitations by Christians to go to the universities, invite students in, they called back and said, hey, there's not any Christians on campus. They're all communists. They're not believers in God. They said, we give you 10 invitations to give to whoever will come. We'll pay their ticket. We'll pay for their 5 days of hotel and food. Invite them to come to this conference. When we came to the conference, we had 400 believers and 1,600 people who we call pre-believers, not believers yet. And we got to share the gospel with them. And many of them received Jesus, asking Jesus to come into their heart, and they were born again. But now we need a big baptismal. So we found a general and gave him $100, and he gave us the use of the Olympic swimming pool for Russia. We didn't know they had special water in that swimming pool to make you go faster. I don't know if we baptized those people any faster, but we had 9 pastors, and we baptized 1,600 university students in water. And when they came up, some of them were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I taught a course on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when I taught it, then I prayed for people to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. You know, in Samaria, we read in another part of the gospel in Acts that Peter and John went to pray for the church in Samaria and asked them, "Have you received the baptism in the Holy Spirit?" They said, "No, we've only received John's baptism." So they baptized them in the name of Jesus, and then they prayed for them, and they all began to speak in other tongues because that was one of the signs of the Holy Spirit. So when I was praying in Russia, I was praying that they would receive a prayer language. One Russian said, "Glory to God, Jesus Christ, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Prince of Peace." I said, "That's good. Thank you very much, but not English, not Russian, some other language." And 5 people were around this kid jumping up and down and screaming. "What is wrong with these people?" I said, "Why are you screaming and so excited?" They said, "This is our friend. We brought him with us. He is a deaf mute. He cannot hear and he cannot speak. But when you prayed for him, the Holy Spirit came upon him, opened his ears so he could hear, and now his voice to speak." And he was speaking in tongues. But it was English. I could understand him. I said, "Well, keep on praying in tongues. Glory to God, Jesus Christ, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Prince of Peace." And I said, "Wow, what a powerful tongue, an English tongue." And you know, the excitement in that conference. Before I went to that conference, my father, being a Methodist minister, he said, "Rusty, please don't go to Russia." Because on that very weekend, they were coup-ing Gorbachev's government. Tanks were in the street. There was much turmoil in Moscow, and it was very dangerous to be there. And I told my dad, I said, "Dad, I've already bought my ticket. I'm going." He said, "Son, Russia is an old country. It will be there next year. You can go next year when there's not problems." And I said, "You know, I think that God probably knew there was going to be a coup when he asked me to buy this ticket 1 month ago. So I think I'm going to be okay, Dad. Just pray for me. I'm going." When I landed, the tanks rolled out, the coup was over, and we had a powerful meeting. At that same meeting, a lady brought her daughter to the front of the stage, and she asked me, she said, "Is there anyone here who can pray for my daughter?" And I said, "Well, what's wrong with your daughter?" And then I looked at her daughter more clearly, and her eyes were swollen shut. She's blind and she cannot see. She's not been able to see for several years. I said, "Well," and I looked on stage, and here's an Indonesian pastor. He's written a book called Like a Mighty Wind. It's full of miracles. Well, I'm sure he can pray for her. Here's another minister who prays for the sick. I'm sure he could pray for her too. So I said, "Sure, bring her on up," you know, and I'm introducing and having them pray for her, and nothing happened. And, you know, if you ever watch when people pray for people and nothing happens, they just kind of wander off to pray for someone else, and they leave you holding the bag, and I was left holding the bag of the blind girl, and so the lady says, "Well, can't you do something?" I'm thinking, hello, 2 very anointed men prayed for her and nothing happened. And then I heard God speak to me. When I heard God speak to me, he said, "Rusty, you pray for her." And I'm thinking, when was the last time I prayed for a blind girl and she ever got healed? And the answer was never. I mean, I prayed, but I've never seen that miracle take place. But I serve a God of miracles. And God said, "Rusty, I want you to take a picture of her." I said, "God, now that's rude, God, to take a picture of a blind person." You know what the Lord spoke to me? He said, "It's okay, Rusty. She'll never know."
Aya.
Okay, all right. So I took a picture of her. And then I prayed for her. Nothing happened. He said, take another picture. So I took another picture. And prayed again. He said, take another picture. So I took another picture. I've got five pictures, five photographs of this woman. And on the fifth prayer, now in the Bible, five is the number of grace. So when I prayed for her the fifth time, both eyes came open and she could see clearly. And she was healed. And I'm thinking, thank you, Jesus. I'm so glad I obey Jesus. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. I mean, you know, I get a little excited. Why? First miracle of the blind eyes. In Russia, I've seen many blind eyes open. In Nepal, just was there, saw seven people with deaf ears healed in the name of Jesus. One of the most reoccurring miracles I see is the deaf ear opening up. When I was in Siberia a few years ago, I was ministering, and I had from four people to 22 people per meeting healed of deaf ears. God is a God who heals today. He hasn't stopped. He's increasing. Not only is he increasing, but he's giving revelation, understanding to people who've not yet met Jesus. Would you like to hear another testimony? No? Oh, yes? Oh, okay, yes. Okay, all right. I was here in the cathedral 15 years ago at the 7 p.m. service. And the Lord spoke to me that someone had just finished a prayer, and the prayer was this: if this is truly a man of God, and God, if you really still heal today, would you have him call out my sickness? I said, someone just finished. Here's the prayer you just prayed, and your sickness is you cannot have babies because your sperm count is too low. It's your fault, not your wife. But if you'll come forward, I'll pray for you, and God will heal you, and you can have children. Now the man's in trouble. Why? He said, well, if I get up, I'm going to be embarrassed. Everybody will know my problem. And he was a Bible student at the university. He said, and then all the kids will know my problem. Oh, it's so embarrassing, but he did pray that prayer. So he said, okay, Lord, I'm going to go up. And he came forward. He had had this disease of lupus. Lupus lowers your sperm count. It's a form of cancer, and he couldn't be healed. But I prayed for him. 9 months later, I was back in Singapore, and this young man with his wife brought his first baby and said, here's the miracle baby, healed in the name of Jesus. I want to tell you, I serve a God of miracles. One of your other deacons, she was here, or one of the other people on staff this morning, she came to me with crutches, unable to walk. Prayed for her, she dropped her crutches, and she walked back and forth, and she's healed today. We serve a God of miracles. We serve a God who heals today. You know, the Bible talks about the magnificent promises of God. One of those promises is healing. Tonight, we're going to have our Holy Eucharist, but we're also going to pray for people who are sick. The Lord has already spoken to me about several people who've come to this meeting. I don't know you. I know a couple of people. But the Lord wants to see your faith. How can God see your faith? Well, the way Jesus saw the faith of these men was they brought their sick friend to Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he answered their faith and healed the man. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:1, we just read the scripture. Hebrews 11:6 says, for without faith it's impossible to please God, because you must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them who seek the Lord. I have this saying that I use many times around the world. This saying goes like this: if God reveals, he will heal. So I yield to God in one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit called the gift of the word of knowledge. This gift is information that comes from God about people in this room. Like there are four people, you're suffering from chronic sore throat, dry mouth, and your throat's dry, and you have to keep pumping lozenges into your mouth to keep your throat from being so dry. When you try to speak, you get hoarse, and you can even lose your voice. I'll pray for you tonight, and I'll believe that God will heal you, and you'll never have that problem again. There are two people. Is this thing on? Hello? Which one's on? Okay, this one's on. There's two people here, and you're deaf in your left ear. Left ear is deaf, cannot hear. I'll pray for you tonight, and I will believe God for your miracle. There's seven people here suffering from cancer. Cancer of the colon, cancer of the lungs, cancer of the stomach, cancer of the liver, and a brain tumor. God knows you. He loves you. And all I have to do is pray. I'm not the healer. I represent the healer, Jesus Christ the healer. And you might have other problems like pain in your neck and pain in your shoulders so you can't lift up your right arm, lower back pains, knee pain, all sorts of pains. You show your faith by coming forward and saying, that's me. I want to receive prayer. I'd like for you to pray for me. It's not up to me to heal you, but it's up to me to let the Holy Spirit flow through me and He heal you. I have found a responsibility we have as sick people. A lady a few months ago asked me to pray for her cancer. And I said, I don't want to pray for that. No, please pray for me. I said, no, I don't want to. I said, please do. Okay. Lord Jesus, would you please bless my sister's cancer? She only has it in the left breast. Would you please fill up her right breast? Lord, why don't you go ahead and give it to her in her womb? Oh, Lord, just fill her up with cancer, and why don't you kill her in Jesus' name? Stop praying that way. What are you, crazy? That's what you asked for. You asked me to bless your cancer. Now, we got a body. The sickness is attacking our body. The cancer doesn't belong to you. Somehow it got into your body. It's attacking your body. It's trying to kill you. Jesus Christ is life, and He has healing. I was just in a meeting. This is my sixth meeting of today. The last meeting I was in, a man came forward and said, you prayed for me. I had fourth stage cancer. I was dying, but Jesus Christ of Nazareth killed the disease, and I'm healed. Healed today. That was like 3 years ago. Jesus Christ is the healer. Will He heal everybody? I hope so. Does He heal everybody? Not everybody. So there's some factors. Can you step out in faith to believe? Can you step out in faith to receive prayer? Can you step out in faith to say, by my sickness, you're no longer my friend? I'm no longer going to pet you. You're not my dog. I get rid of you. I don't want you anymore. Lord Jesus, see, the cross of Christ, what did He do on the cross? He died for our sins to be forgiven, correct? Yes, that's what we mainly know of the sacrifice of Jesus. He bore our sins for us so that if we would accept His sacrifice, we could be born again. We could come into the family of God. We could begin to follow Jesus. And when we die, we'll go straight to heaven. But God did something else in the sacrifice. Jesus was beaten with a whip, and that was called a cat of nine tails. It had nine different whips on one whip, and they beat Him 39 times. 39 times nine, figure that one out. It's about 349, 350, something like that. There are that many categories of sickness in the world today. thousands of diseases, but under all these categories, Jesus died for every, he was beaten for every sickness in the world today. There's no sickness that Jesus cannot heal. You say, wait a minute, Rusty, if you do that and you say that, then you're going to clean out all the hospitals and there won't be any more patients for the doctors. No, there's still people who doubt and don't have the... there'll still be plenty of room in the hospitals for people. But there will be, I believe, in someday I will go to a hospital and just clean it right out. Of course, hospitals are refillable, so they can get new patients in. But the key here is this. If we will follow Jesus, if we will listen to him, if we will speak as he speaks, release, share with people, we can pray for these sicknesses and others. Again, I was in Russia. I had prayed for an elder's wife. Her arm was 3 inches shorter than the other. She had scoliosis. She could only bend over like this. She could not go any further. And so I prayed for her. Her arm grew out like that. I said, now bend over. And she bent over and touched her toes. Man, the elder, her husband said, wait a minute, take your jacket off. Bend over again. And he ran his fingers down a straight backbone. Healed by the power of God. She never could bend. Now she can bend over. Now she's healed. A man named Victor said, pray for me. Pray for me. And I said, come on up here. I'll pray for you. What's wrong with you? I'm blind in this eye. I go, why did I ask him to come up? Hey, Lord, you know, I'd only had one healing of a blind eye, and now this is going to be number two, I hope. So I prayed for him. I said, can you see out of your eye now? No, I cannot see a thing. Prayed again. Can you see now? No, I can't see anything. I said, Lord Jesus, did I make a mistake and step out in too much faith? And Lord, what should I do? And I had my hands on his eyes. And then I heard Jesus speak to me. He said, Rusty, ask the Holy Spirit to glorify Jesus. And I said, Holy Spirit, would you please come and glorify Jesus and touch this man's eye in Jesus' name and heal him. I took my hand off of his blind eye, left it on his good eye. Can you see light? Yes, I can. Prayed again. I see what? I see blue. I see red. Prayed again. There's a man with a red shirt. There's a man with a blue sweater. I see him clearly. I said, okay, now wait a minute. How blind is blind for you? You know, some people, they say they're blind, but they just got blurry vision. He said, my eye is dead. Wednesday, I go to the doctor, and he will drill it out of my head, suck it out of my head. It's already gangrened, and they're going to put a glass eyeball in the socket. And I said, before you let him do that, you let him test it again. So he went back, and I left Russia, and I met his pastor in Armenia a couple of months later, and I said, hey, that Victor guy at your church, whatever happened to him? He said he went back to the doctor. The doctor checked his eye. He said, I'm healed. I can see. He said, no, you're not healed. No, I can see. I can see you lots. I can and describe what he saw. He said, No, you didn't understand what I said. Your eyeball is not healed. He said, then how can I see? He said, because you've got a brand new eyeball. There's no scar tissue on this eyeball. There's nothing wrong with this eyeball. It is perfectly clear, like it's brand new. The doctor gave a report. He said, I am a son of the motherland. I am a true communist. I am an atheist. There is no God. But I treated this man, and he has this condition in his eye, gangrened. And he came back to my office, and I said, what have you done? He said, I went to a Christian church, and there a minister prayed for me, and now I have a brand new eyeball. This man has a brand new eyeball. All I can say, there must be a God. Full stop. testimony of what God did. I serve a God of miracles. I serve a God who loves us. But I'm not the only special one. God can use any believer in Jesus. God can use any minister of God. What do we have to have? Faith. I must believe. I must allow this sickness to go over into God's hands. I must say goodbye and good riddance. You're not my friend. You're not mine. You don't belong to me. I give it up. And then I receive prayer. We might anoint you with oil. That's one of the things the elders can do, is anoint with oil. Another thing is lay hands on you to pray for you. Another way, there's several different ways to pray. And you simply need to believe. I've prayed for people. I can feel fire come out of my hands, the Holy Spirit power come into a person's life to set them free. Prayed for one man, and I felt the fire come out of him and back into my hands. And I said, whoa, wait a minute. You got to believe. He said, yeah, but I'm not worthy. I've been kind of a naughty man. I'm just not really right with God. I said, that's okay. Jesus died on the cross so he could pre-qualify you to receive prayer and healing. Jesus died for our sins, our sicknesses, and our diseases. The Bible says, cursed is any man who hangs upon a tree. Therefore, Jesus delivered us from the curse of the law. What would a curse be? Have you ever heard of inherited diseases? You're prone to sickness, prone to this disease, that disease. My mama had it. My grandmama had it. Now I have a bad inheritance. I got the disease. Jesus broke the power of the inheritance. So that bad inheritance can be removed, and Jesus can give you a new inheritance in Jesus Christ. Bow your heads a moment. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come against all spirits of fear or unbelief. Or maybe you received prayer before and nothing happened. Lord, I believe tonight is different. Lord, I believe tonight you're going to set the captives free. Father, I know that when we take the Holy Eucharist, the body and the blood of Jesus, we can be healed through communion. Father, we can be healed by the prayers of the saints and of the ministers. Father, the prayer of faith can save the one who's sick, and you can raise him back up. So Lord, tonight, the altar will be opened. We will pray for the sick. And Lord, we'll believe you for the miraculous to take place. In Jesus' name, amen.